reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Amos, found on page 982, and we read Amos chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, and we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's found on page 1271. And we read 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 15. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1119. And we read Luke 16, beginning at verse 1. Jesus also said it to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. Charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said it to him, this is what I hear about you. Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be my manager. And the manager said it to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said to him, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. And to reread one phrase from there, which has caused this to be one of the most confusing parables Jesus ever shared. From Luke 16, verse 9, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." This is our text. And to somewhat paraphrase it, use your money to make friends. Did Jesus really say that? I just read it, so I guess he did. But is that what you're supposed to be doing with your money? As I said, this parable down through the years has caused the Christian church a lot of anxiety in terms of understanding what Jesus is saying, and also who he's saying about it. He's holding up a dishonest manager as somebody that we should be imitating. Why would Jesus want us to be in some ways like people who are bad people? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And so, to rightly understand this parable, it's one of those that's very good for us to dig into the historical context of. There was a rich man who had a manager. But this manager was wasting his master's wealth. And when this was called to the attention of the ruler, he was going to fire the guy. Now, When this man got himself into trouble with his master, when he was considering what he had been given or entrusted with in his life, for whom was he using it? Was he using it to help his friends? Was he using it to help his master? Or do you think he was using it for himself? That's really not that hard to answer. This man was going to get fired because even though he had been entrusted with much and probably was very well taken care of, he didn't see what he was entrusted with as something to use for others. He saw it as something to simply use for himself. We don't know how he was wasting his master's possessions, but he did it so much that he was about to lose his job. And so he contemplates, what's going to happen to me? In the parable, he says to himself, you know, I'm not that strong. Not strong enough to dig. I don't want to spend the rest of my life begging. So he brings in his master's debtors and does something with their bills. You have to be familiar with the ancient world and particularly ancient Judaism to really understand what he was doing with these bills. In God's law in the Old Testament, charging, if you will, interest on something that people borrowed to you was not allowed. It's called usury in the Old Testament. Kind of like what you do with your neighbor. If your neighbor comes over and wants to borrow a tool, their lawnmower is broken down and they need to mow their lawn, what do? Give them the lawnmower and say, "And oh, by the way, pay me $10 interest for the privilege of using it." No. You just lend your mower and hope it comes back reasonably clean, at least in the same condition with which you left it. I don't think when we're in heaven we're going to be charging interest to each other when we let somebody use something that we have. And so when God set up his earthly kingdom, that's the same way it was. But that's not how the business world operates, is it? You borrow something, there's a fee that goes along with that borrowing. And so even in Judaism, even though it was technically illegal to charge interest, what they would do when they were lending out things is they'd essentially lie about how much you were borrowing. And that varied with the commodity you were borrowing. At least from one professor that I read through, you could charge up to 100% interest on things like oil. Wheat, not so much. Maybe 20, 25% interest. And so when somebody needed to borrow something, they'd come in and you'd say, "Well, I'd like to borrow some oil from you. I need to borrow some wheat." And whatever they came in and said they were going to borrow, you added the interest to it that was normally charged and said that they owed, if they were borrowing 50 measures of oil, you'd say, "Well, you're actually borrowing 100 measures of oil. That's what your bill is going to say." Agreed? And they'd agree. Now, really, they're only borrowing 50. But as a good, pious Pharisee Jew, you couldn't say that. You were charging interest. You just said they borrowed more than they actually borrowed. Are you all kind of tracking with me on what they did? So you looked like you were following the law when you really weren't.
And this was, in the ancient world, standard practice among the Jews. Oh, and by the way, that extra that got put into the bills, probably that's where the manager made his money. Even though he is well cared for, the manager would often charge more. Up until now, when the manager was managing what was entrusted to him, he wasn't doing to help out his neighbors and his friends of the master. He wasn't doing it to help out his master. He was doing it all just for himself. But now, he realizes that using his master's possessions for his own selfish desires doesn't work. In the end, there's a price to be paid for that kind of life. So now he's going to change how he uses that which is entrusted to him. He's going to start using it to help others. And so the interest charges that were illegal anyway are now removed. If you borrowed 50 measures of oil, that's what you owe. If you borrowed 100 measures of wheat or 80 measures of wheat, that's what you owe. It's the way God intended things to be used, and it's the way he now uses them. So that when his management comes to an end, he'll have friends that he can turn to. The master then commends this man for his shrewdness. And Jesus says that, you know, sometimes the people of this world are more understanding of what to do with what they have than are even the sons of light. And what was true then is also true today. I'm not going to ask a show of hands of any of everybody who has at least once in their life wasted what God has given to them. Because all of our hands would go up. What God is really saying, he has said elsewhere in Scripture. In that great section of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6 about worrying. You know, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Look at the birds and how God feeds them. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Look at the lilies of the field, how God clothes them. And that section in Matthew chapter 6 closes with this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. In other words, when you look at your earthly possessions, don't think of them as your own. Those are the things God has given you to pursue the work of his kingdom on earth. Use them that way, and you will be blessed. But we often don't use them that way. Seated in Christian churches throughout the world, and including Missouri Synod congregations, are a lot of people who have piled up things like credit card debt, buying that which they can't afford. Practically every day as I'm driving back and forth to work or to the hospitals or to calls, I hear this commercial on people who haven't paid their taxes for a while. They've gotten buried by a mountain of debt. God has entrusted blessings to us, and we don't use them the way God wants us to. And what would happen if God entrusted us with more?
Well, every now and again you hear about something that happens to people who win lots of money. You know, about every couple of weeks there's one of those lottery winners. And we think to ourselves, oh, if God would only bless me that way. $250 million extra dollars, what could you do with that? $300 million, what could you do with that? $500 million sometimes. But you know what happens to all those lottery winners? If you follow their lives 3, 4, 5 years down the line, most of them are filing for bankruptcy. They weren't very faithful with little, and even when they were blessed with much, they just became unfaithful with much. One of the most well-known Christians today who focuses on the use of finances, Dave Ramsey, is a big proponent of tithing, giving 10% of your income to the church. And he has a great line on that when people say, well, you know, that's just so much. I don't know if I can afford that. The line is this: if you don't know how to get by on 90% of what you have, chances are you don't know how to get by on 100% of what you have. Be it time, be it talents, be it treasures. We need to have a different point of view as to those things in our possession. They're not ours to use for ourselves. They're God's, to be used in God's way, to help others, to serve Him in His kingdom. And what God promises to us is that if we use His possessions that way, He will take care of us. After all, we worship a God who so much wants to take care of us. And when through sin we had thrown our lives away, He sent His own Son into human flesh to die and to rise for us, that we could have that life which we had destroyed back again. That when we had dishonored Him by the way we have used His possessions in our lives, He might restore us to His own service, forgiving our sins, calling us His children again. Would not a God who does all that for us, who pays the price that we can't pay, willingly and lovingly, is He not going to provide us with what we need to serve Him the way that He wants to be served? And of course, the obvious answer to that is yes. But we so often fail to get that and to live that way in our everyday lives. We go out and make purchases, not even thinking for a moment, is this the best way that I can serve God with what He has entrusted to my care? Use your money to make friends, somewhat paraphrasing the words of Jesus. You know, people who aren't even Christians often figure that out. They learn ways of using money.
that not only makes them money, but also helps a lot of other people as well. May God help us to see what He has given to us in a new way. Not meant to just serve our own individual and selfish desires, but to use that which He has entrusted to us to serve others and to serve Him. And in so doing, we will find also that we have a gracious God whose one aim ultimately is to serve us, who even if we fail, will forgive us and bring us into His eternal dwellings. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.